You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.
Before I start, I'm going to read you a couple of comics. We love that, yeah? Okay, you know Zits, the teenage guys, and they're, okay. Rumor, I heard the girl got electrocuted by putting a phone charger in her mouth. Fact, the girl got electrocuted by putting a phone charger in her mouth while making toast in the bathtub. So it's partly true. And then here's Peanuts. Linus is talking out loud. Lucy's sitting there. Say, he says, how do I know Grandma isn't cheating? How do I know she's not sneaking a few puffs out behind the barn? How do I know? I'll bet that's what she's doing. Oh, I should get my blanket back because I'll bet Grandma's smoking behind the barn. We don't have a barn. Rats. I guess he had a thing against Grandma, so he was trying to get her. So funny. It's funny because it's stuff like that is true. So we're going to talk about gossip, and I'll open with prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that you love us. You've taken us out of different kinds of lives and brought us into this room tonight, today, to learn how we can help women and learn especially how gossip can be so damaging. And I pray that you'll help us get some pointers and tips from this workshop. But we pray for ourselves too, that we tend to gossip if we're really honest. And we want you to change our hearts, Lord. And so we come before you in submission to your word and your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, did you hear about the pastor who was removed from ministry because his wife revealed all these secrets in prayer meeting? I made that up just to show you. We kind of want to know, don't we? What church was that? What's his name? What did she say? How did that get reported? Okay, because we're tending towards wanting to gossip. And I'll tell you, me preparing this message has been very good because I'm catching myself. And I hear it and I say it, or just hint around and try to get people to speak secrets to me. So the reason I picked this topic is because I read a really great book. It's called Resisting Gossip, Winning the War of the Wagging Tongue. And I've got other resources at the end of that outline. But definition from that book is, gossip is speaking about someone in a way that defames, dishonors, or otherwise hurts character. Tim Jallies says, it's talking negatively about people who are not there and thinking the worst about them. Gossip, the sin of gossip, is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. So the first gossiper who said bad things, Satan, right? And if you read Titus 2:3 in the Greek, which I don't really remember Greek from when I learned it ages ago, but Titus 2:3 says, older women are likewise to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers. That word is diabolos, slanderer. So gossip can be really subtle. It can be grumbling, but it could be loud and ranting. Sometimes things we're saying are true, and sometimes they're not true. So the criteria is, if the listener does not need to know and is not part of the solution, you do not need to tell the story. Okay? And we're going to emphasize that. If you're not part of the problem or part of the solution, then don't say anything. And it's not gossip if you're telling someone who does need to know and someone who can help. Now, this is why we're talking about it today at a counseling conference, because I have had so many women come up to me and say, I can't tell you what's going on in my household because I do not want to gossip. So they've been drilled in, it's been drilled into their heads, don't gossip, don't say anything bad. And yet these are the women who might be abused or might be witnessing abuse of children, and they're really afraid to sin in that area, okay? So this, we're gonna tell them as counselors that you it's not gossip if you tell someone who needs to know and someone who can help with the problem. Okay, so I'm gonna give you another example. Say you hear that a missionary has left the field. Now that happens all the time, right? Missionaries leave the field. What if you said missionaries were removed from the field? Different story. Okay, now if we think missionaries left the field, well, there could be so many different reasons, right? Her mother was recently widowed, needs somebody to take care of her now. Maybe they've got teenage kids who aren't allowed to live in that country, so you've got to move back to the U.S. Maybe there were health problems. Could have been, though, there were problems in the team. Maybe there's some relationship problems going on. They left. Maybe there was financial abuse. Maybe there was sexual abuse. Do you need to know all that? Not unless you're on the missions committee and you were a part of ministering to that family. But if you're in the church and you hear missionaries left the field, for example, just, okay? If it's not something you have to know about, then don't keep digging, because we want to give grace to one another. It's a serious problem. I'm going to start out with family and friends. Everybody can relate to these. Relatives taking one side or the other, and this kind of dramatic gossip can last for years, where people are believing the wrong thing about something that happened. Luke 12, we read Jesus says, division happens in families, okay? It's gonna happen. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends. And you could probably give me lots of testimony about that, but we're not gonna talk about it. We're gonna move on. Not unless it's edifying. At work, gossip at work, ugly. It can happen at a school where parents are complaining about the teacher. Even though there's a definite process of how you can talk about a complaint in the classroom, parents get together, right? And they spread ugly rumors, and there's not a way to solve it. Now, I mentioned this talk to a nurse. She goes, hey, we've got HIPAA. We've got the HIPAA Act. Don't we all wish we had that? Think about it. In church, in families, in relationships, we should all be remembering we're not supposed to spread information. Y'all knew who J.K. Rowling is? Rowling? She wrote the Harry Potter series, right? So she had an issue of slander against her. Well, not really slander, it was spreading information. And so I'm going to read you this article. J.K. Rowling accepted an apology and a charitable donation from a law firm that revealed she wrote a crime novel under a pseudonym. J.K. Rowling, okay, famous. She wants to write another book and see if anybody can figure out that it's a good book without her name on it, right? Legit, she wants to do that. So she was exposed by a newspaper as the author of this book. It was published to good reviews, but modest sales. And there was speculation that Rowling or her publisher had leaked the news to raise the book's profile. But the law firm acknowledged that one of its partners had let the information slip to his wife's best friend, who tweeted it to the Sunday Times. Rowling sued the lawyer and the friend. And her attorney said that she had been left angry and distressed that her confidences had been betrayed. Now, she doesn't need the money, right? She ended up donating all the lawsuit money to a charity. But that's going on in the world. But it's also, we're getting problems at churches. I've talked to women who say, I say, so why did you leave that church? Well, because of the culture of gossip in a church. Do you think that's church disciplinable? Gossip? One of our group of elders at our old church, they ended up confronting a woman who was gossiping, and she left. She and her husband left. But it was a serious problem that needed to be stopped, okay, spreading false information. And is this a problem with just older ladies? Like I read to you the verse, Titus, older women are not to be slanderers. Okay, so I've got also the girls. 1 Timothy 5:11. Refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. That's diabolos. It's a big sin. But I mentioned also in counseling, we have to help women to be able to understand the difference between gossip and sharing information that has to be dealt with. But have you ever had a counselor you've had to stop from gossiping to you? Plenty of times, yeah. They'll say, oh, my sister did this and this and this. Or this happened at work. Okay. Those ladies at work, they gossip so much. They're always talking bad about people in front of other people. Okay, now what's that? She's not saying, Caroline, can you help me deal with that? She's just sounding off. So social media spreads gossip. And it's easy to talk about people who are not directly there. And more than once, we've probably seen an email that comes back, somebody accidentally pushed reply all, and we all saw what they really thought. And we've seen comments under posts that are really inappropriate and should not be there. And I promised I wouldn't put politics into this talk, but in the political world, plenty of rumors and slander. Okay, just gonna leave it at that. Yeah. So we are all capable of gossip. Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but John Owen says, the seed of every known sin is in my heart. And Tim Jelly says, even if we've not actually gossiped, we've tiptoed over that line. Okay, let's be honest. So we don't want to ignore it. You might say, well, I just hope that doesn't do too much damage. You know, I don't want to spread the information. I hope it won't be too bad. But when it's part of your church culture, or if people are not coming to you for counsel because you're talking, and you shouldn't be telling people things that you're hearing, then you're going to ruin your ministry. Just remember, gossip is nasty, and it's destructive, it's vile. And Jesus had to die for the sin of gossip. He died on the cross for that sin. One reason not to ignore it is because one person can spread gossip to everyone else, and it changes the nature of conversation. Now, if I asked you, are there any examples in the Bible, what would you say? Yes. Okay. First off, we've got the story of Noah. And you remember Noah got drunk after he got off the ark, and what happened next? His son went and told his two brothers outside. Did he try to solve the problem? No, he was just spreading bad information. And the other two sons covered their dad's sin. Job's friends assumed the worst about him. They had their idea of what was right in that situation. Gossip is, Matthew Mitchell says, gossip is also tattling. No, tattling is gossiping to someone in authority. Tattling, yeah, your moms can take that home to your kids. It's telling on somebody, right? So there's also an interesting story in Joshua 22. Do y'all remember the tribes? Some of them settle on one side of the Jordan and a whole bunch of them settle on the other side of the Jordan. Well, the ones on the three on the one side, on the east side of the Jordan, decided to build an altar, and the other guys became livid. They became, when they, people of Israel heard of it, in Joshua 22:12, the whole assembly of the people of Israel gathered at Shiloh to make war against them. You've built an altar. When we have been told we're supposed to build an altar in Jerusalem, how could you do that? And they were going to go to war. But the people of Reuben, the people of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh said to the, in answer to the heads of the families of Israel, in verse 22, the mighty one, God, the Lord. The mighty one, God, the Lord. Hey, that's a pretty good way to start your argument. Giving honor to God. He knows. And let Israel itself know, if it was in rebellion or in breach of faith against the Lord, do not spare us today for building an altar to turn away from the following the Lord. And then they said, no, but we did it from fear that from time in time to come, your children might say to our children, what have we you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made Jordan a boundary between us and you. You people of Reuben and people of Gad, you have no portion in the Lord. So we said, therefore, let us now build an altar, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice, but to be a witness between us and you. Does this story sound familiar? You've heard it. Okay, and then in 30, when Phinehas the priest and the chiefs of the congregation, the heads of the families of Israel who were with him, heard the words that those people said, it was good in their eyes. So they heard a rumor and they assumed the worst. And thankfully, that problem was solved. When David was fleeing Jerusalem in 2 Samuel 16, Ziba comes out. And Ziba worked for Mephibosheth. And the king said, where's your master's son? Oh, King Ziba said, well, he remains in Jerusalem. For he said, oh, today the house of Israel will give me back the kingdom of my father. The king said, okay, behold, all that belonged to Mephibosheth is now yours. Well, Ziba was telling a false story. So when David comes back, he asked Mephibosheth, why did you not go with me? And he answered, oh, my lord, the king, my servant deceived me. And Mephibosheth explained, I really wanted to be with you, but I'm lame. I couldn't go. So there's a false story right there in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, we have so much teaching about sins of the tongue, and that's our category today, right? How hard it is to tame. Just live in my shoes past few months and hear gossip and try to restrain yourself from talking badly about people. You'll find out. It's in a list of very serious sins in Romans 1:29. Gossips are up there with all the rest. Okay? And I want to talk a little bit about all the damage this sin can do. Because it is a sin, we need to be committed to putting it to death. Okay, that's our first point. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If all of us leave this room and say, you know what, I'm committed now. I'm not going to listen to gossip or speak gossip. We can do some transforming work in our churches because we influence people. So there you go. But another reason, not only that it's a sin, but it hurts you to be a gossip. Okay? Proverbs 19:5, a false witness will not go unpunished. And he who breathes out lies will not escape. So you should ask yourself constantly, why am I saying this? Why am I telling this story? Why am I repeating this that I heard? 1 Peter 4:15, let none of you suffer as, and there's a list, and on that is a meddler. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. So you're hurting yourself. But you also hurt the people you're speaking to. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ears to a mischievous tongue. Proverbs 17:4. So we're evildoers if we listen to wicked lips. Proverbs 6:16. There are six things the Lord hates. Y'all know this list? Okay. Am I right? Six. Yes. Six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, and a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. The Lord hates those sins. So, just being honest, it's easy to try to tempt somebody else to gossip. Okay? Oh, how's so-and-so doing? Okay, you can ask that question. Sounds innocent, but you really like to hear a little bit of dirt. Okay. It's like, are they going to take the bait so I can find out without really asking directly? And another temptation we have is to think badly about others based on what someone else has told us about them without any proof. Proverbs 18:17 is our biblical counseling verse. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Now we're sitting in the counseling office and we're listening to the teenage girl given what for about her mother. Ah, my mother does this. My mother does that. Okay. Then you bring in the mother and don't you hear a different story often? You often hear the other side of the case. So are you listening to gossip? Okay, what we'd rather do is be really discerning and realize there's probably another side of this story. Like the missionaries left the field. Okay, I don't know all about that. There could be a whole completely innocent reason. So let's be those ladies who discern truth. And we're going to search it out. Proverbs 25:2. It's the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. Ask questions. Proverbs 11:9. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. So that's what I'm trying to learn in my counseling, is to keep asking questions, keep finding out the truth. And gossips hurt not only themselves, other people, but the one who's been gossiped about. So gossip can damage a reputation without anybody having a chance to say their other side. Okay. And we've seen that on TV the past few weeks. Somebody's reputation is getting damaged. And we don't know the story, do we? So it's very difficult to confront gossip because we find it hard to figure out if this is gossip that we're listening to, okay? And Matthew Mitchell's suggestion is, ask this question. Would you say that if this person were here? You can ask someone talking to you that question, but why don't you just ask yourself that question? Would I be saying that if they were right here? We know this sin is so appealing to us. And it's the Bible talks about delicious morsels. It's twice written in Proverbs. Proverbs 18:8 And Proverbs 26:22 says, both of those say, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels that go down into the inner parts of the body, like potato chips, Oreos. Oh, I'd love to hear more. I'd love to know more. Why do we do that? It's such an ugly thing. So evil. Jerry Bridges answers the question. He says in his book, Respectable Sins, he says, because it feeds our sinful ego. Yeah, I'm better than that. I wouldn't do that. I'm going to pronounce judgment on that person. When I don't know her story, really. And I'm hearing probably could be a false story about her. And some of us tend to talk too much. And, you know, gossip can easily spill out. And I've got a verse for you. It says, Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So if we just get in the habit of not talking so much, we're going to stop ourselves from gossip. That'll be one of the first steps. And we want to stay away from gossips, huh? Proverbs 20:19. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. And it could be somebody who just doesn't really have self-control, doesn't have control over tongue. And haven't we been in that prayer meeting when we're praying about so-and-so and her big problem with this, and just to get all this juicy stuff? Okay, let's just keep our prayers limited. Unless this prayer meeting is a counseling group and they're going to help you. You ask me, how do I deal with it? No, if it's just blah, 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 and this my horrible life and whatever it is, let's stay away from that. We're hurting ourselves if we're listening to it. And my husband, Jim, he always goes, well, you can always say more later, but you can't say less later. So why don't we'd rather kick ourselves for not saying enough than having to come back and say, I really said too much. Okay. So one way to stop yourself from gossiping or being near a gossip, because you realize, hey, you could be the next victim. They could turn on you. If she's saying that about her, she might just go back and say the same thing about me. So I'd rather not spend time with that person, because you know their character. Sometimes that's good enough to keep us from gossiping. Because you're not going to want it to go to the next person. Don't we have those aunts? We have Aunt So-and-so, right? You tell her, the whole family knows. Okay, so we're always real careful. Gotta be real careful around her. So I want to tell you a few things about blessings. If you avoid this sin, here are some blessings that will come to you. You will learn to be trustworthy. Don't you want to be that person? People can trust what I say. I'm not going to spread things I don't know anything about. I'm not going to repeat a story I heard from someone else that I have no facts about. I'm not going to post anything on Facebook that I haven't researched. Oh, have we been caught before by Snopes? You know what Snopes is, right? The investigation. People go in and say, is this story false or true? It's been circling through the internet. Is it true or false? You want to be the woman, if she's putting something up there, it's not just what I've seen from someone else, or boy, this story sounds pretty interesting. You're going to check it out. One of my kids is friends with a lot of my friends, and he'll, now and then, he'll say, look what, this is a false story you're telling. Do you want that? No, you want to be honest. I'm not going to repost. Very rarely am I going to repost something like that, because I want to be known as a trustworthy person. Okay, I'm not going to spread. That's how these things blossomed through the internet. Repeated stories over and over again. Did you hear the one about? And then, yeah, it's something outrageous usually. So Proverbs 14:15. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Good motto right there. And God promises, if we stay away from a gossip, we will be blessed. Proverbs 20:19 again. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. And we could put women in there too. Proverbs 17:4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. So, instead, these are some good things, right? We're off to a good start on blessings. But if we want to repair a gossip situation, we want to bring healing and reconciliation, don't we? Instead of spreading stories. And Matthew Mitchell recommends that we talk to people and not about them. Who said that? Yes! Okay, did you hear that? It's not scripture, but a good slogan nonetheless. Talk to people and not about them. But I do have scripture for all that, for that concept. Proverbs 26:20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, quarreling cease. It can stop with you. All that ragging on somebody else. No, doesn't have to go any further than you. And Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And does a gossip want to keep talking to you if you shut her down? No, she'll go on to someone else. So you'll be known as a peacemaker. Matthew 5:23 talks about dealing with conflict. It says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, as in somebody's talking badly about you, leave your gift there and go first, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you'll never get out until you've paid your last penny. So people in ministry are going to be targets, right? Or is it, okay, many of us have been targets because we're in ministry. Pastors' wives, elders' wives. Why did they do that? And I don't think that was a good idea. And the elders made that choice. Coming to you, okay? Or in the counseling world, this is happening. People coming into my office. Well, I went to such and such a counseling place and they were no good. And they did this and told me that. Okay, do we really know what they said? No. Do we think badly about that other counseling center without knowledge, just based on what someone said? I mean, don't they leave your office sometime and say, wow, I didn't get any good counseling from her, because, you know, you don't want them to do the same thing to you, do unto others. So that's going to be happening. Those of you who are out there in public are going to be dealing with this issue. So what should we do when we hear gossip? We've got some ideas, practical ideas. Here is Eric Raymond, who gives us three R's. Refuse, rebuke, redirect. Okay, let's expand that. He says, refuse to listen. And again, I've given you this example, but have you talked to so-and-so about that? Have you talked to your mom about this problem you're having with her? Have you talked to your husband about what's going on in the house before you come and tell me? Have you talked to your sister? Okay. Or, please don't drag me into your issues about her. I'm not involved in that. I don't need to hear about that. Proverbs 17:4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Just, I don't need to hear that. Or could we change the subject? Or I'd rather talk about this other thing. That is a really soft way to refuse to listen. But then Eric Raymond mentions rebuking the sin. It's when you get a little more serious. And he makes a description. Listen to this word picture. Gossip starts slowly. Then the conversation begins to carve up someone's character like a Christmas turkey. Just on and on about how that person is towards you. So Eric Raymond says, just stop it, like interrupt right then. He says, you're really speaking negatively about so-and-so. Have you spoken with them about it? Or let's not delve into that. Or I don't need to know about this. Well, cut it off. It's hard to do, especially if it's your relative, especially because we kind of love it. Okay? Kind of, we like to get down there in the mud with, we're such sinners. Okay, so steel yourself and just say, this is not going to help me. I'm not helping them, and I'm definitely not helping the person that we're talking about. So let's put a stop to it. And it helps to know that it is a sin. So if you call it a sin in your mind, you'll realize you do not want to be a part of it. It's really difficult. But if we're thinking God's thoughts after him, we'll realize that's what it is. Okay. Now, here's what Nehemiah did. Another situation of rumors and gossip happening in Nehemiah 6. So these bad boys, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, were spreading rumors about what Nehemiah was doing building the wall. And they tried all kinds of things. They tried to get Nehemiah to come out and meet with them. But he says, but they intended to do me harm. So, and I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? You know, he's like, I don't have any time for this. And they sent to me 4 times in this way. And I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat, for the 5th time, sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel, and that's why you're building the wall. So he brought in his compadres to verify his story. Doesn't that show you that's kind of weak? And isn't that a signal that we're listening to gossip? Oh, and everybody else says so. Everybody else says that counseling center is terrible. Okay. So let me keep going. And according to these reports, you wish to become their king, Nehemiah. And you've also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there's a king in Judah. And now the king will hear these reports. So now come, let us take counsel together. Verse 8, and I said to him, I sent to him saying, no such things as you have say have been done. For you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all want to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. Then he prays, but now, O God, strengthen my hands. I love that. I mean, this is so real. It's like, you're just making that up. And that's a lot of these stories are. Maybe there's a kernel of truth in them. And then it just gets expanded, inflated. Like my little comics I told you about. So, redirect. And that would be sending the person back to the one who offended them. That's peacemaking 101, Matthew 18, stage one, okay? Sometimes that's where it stops. Could be just a misunderstanding. Like, would you come back and tell me what you heard so I have a chance to explain myself? I mean, don't we wish we had that opportunity? So let's let people do that. Let's teach them to do that. If the gossip was a lie, they need to confess and ask forgiveness. Forgiveness from God. The sin is against God. Telling lies, slandering people, spreading rumors. And just a little aside, when we're doing counseling, just don't leave that out, okay? Confess to God. Sometimes we just got to stop our counseling session right there and say, we're going to have a little prayer right now, and I want to hear you confess to God. Okay? Instead of leaving it for homework, I found that super effective. Some people are private. They'll say, no, I want to later. Okay, come back next week and tell me you did it. But if you do it right there, it is making it dramatically clear there's been a sin committed against God. So let's pray to God and ask forgiveness. And then you have to ask forgiveness from the person you told. So that's a good way to stop us from gossiping if we realize we have to go back and tell that we've said a wrong story, and would you please forgive me? I have repeated a false story about someone, or I'm speaking words that are really not edifying. Would you forgive me? And then going back, thirdly, to the person you gossiped about. That would stop you too. Mom, would you please forgive me? I have been telling people that I had just the most horrible childhood, but I've come to realize I was painting a black picture because of my own hurt and pain, and I've sinned against God and have sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? That's tough. If you're giving this as homework to someone, like I earlier said about confessing, you want to follow up, make sure that lady has followed and gone and done what you asked. Because I'm telling you, this is like one of the hardest homework assignments you could give. But you're doing peacemaking, you're healing. Because families can get wrecked by gossip and marriages are ruined. So how should our speech be governed? And you guys probably already know, huh? It is speak edifying words, Ephesians 4, 19. Am I right? Not Ephesians 4. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Good biblical counselors in here. We just speak edifying words that are building others up. There's a story from history about Socrates. You know, you go back and you hear these stories, you go way back. This is Socrates saying, Socrates, a guy's coming up to him and says, Socrates, I have something to tell you about your friend. He goes, wait, about the story you're about to tell me, did you put it through three sieves? You know, like a colander? Three sieves? The man asked, what three sieves? Let's try it, Socrates said. The first sieve is the one of truth. Did you examine what you're about to tell me? If it is true? Socrates asked. Well, no, I overheard it. Well, then, try the second sieve. Have you decided whether this is good to tell me? Is it something good? No, the man answered. The wise man said, well, let's use a third sieve then. Is it necessary to tell me what you're so excited about? Nope, it's not necessary. Well, Socrates said with a smile, if the story you're about to tell me isn't true, good, or necessary, then just forget about it and don't bother me with it. That's conventional wisdom, right? But we know the Bible has way much more to offer. And Ian Murray wrote a biography of Amy Carmichael, which is where I got this point. Anybody read that? Amy Carmichael? Okay. Starting with Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. So Amy Carmichael used this acronym to stop herself from speaking things that aren't good by saying letter T, true. Is it true? In repeating a matter, we can be careless with the truth. That's Philippians 4:8. Is it honest? That's letter H. So tell me in a minute what I'm spelling, okay? Is it honest? Matthew 5:37 says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Let's be straightforward. You want to be the reliable person. People can trust you without having to go back and say, now, she told me that, but I'm not sure. You want to be reliable. Letter I, is it inspiring? And that's, again, Philippians 4:8. Whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, think on these things. Letter N, is it necessary? Kind of reminds us of Socrates. And letter K, is it kind? Proverbs 31:26, the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. What did I spell? Think before you speak. Love that. It's not original. And the Rotary Club has something like that. If y'all know that one? The four-way test. Rotary Club? No? Okay. They say, is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? Okay. But all these slogans, all this conventional wisdom is not as good as Scripture, because the Bible tells us how to speak. There's Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ephesians 4:29. There's a Christian music group called Building 4:29. Mm-hmm. Whatever's good for building one another up. Okay. So we also remember Titus 3:2. Remind them to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and show perfect courtesy toward all people. Proverbs 12:18. There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You want to be the one who attracts people because of your gracious, loving spirit. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. Now we're all really convicted, right? And it's like the wife that was in, my husband and I were counseling, a husband and wife, and she goes, I want to be like that, but it just keeps coming out, this criticism of my husband. I'm always after him. I don't know how to stop it. But the biblical counselor knows, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, we're really trying hard not to gossip. But if you have that gracious spirit towards people, you want to think God's thoughts after him. It's not such an effort, because out of your heart is going to be coming good things. You won't have to keep pushing it down. Do you see what I'm saying? Inner transformation, that's our big message. So, Psalm 19:14, here's one. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. We want to be in that will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Would I be glad if somebody said that about me? No. As we look at all these do's and don'ts, and we talk about the heart, we can't leave out how Christ was our example. Spend a couple minutes thinking, how could I pull Christ into a talk about gossip? Okay, now I'll try and you tell me if I got it. For one thing, did Jesus commend people around him? Did he spread good? Yes. I have an example. Matthew 26:13. The woman who wiped his feet with her hair. And he said, truly I say to you, whenever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Isn't that beautiful? What a gracious, loving spirit he had. Jesus stands for truth. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Was Jesus slandered? People misunderstood what he said. What? He said he was going to tear down this temple and build it in 3 days? That was in his trial. That was part of the accusations against him. What? He said, we're going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Oh, crazy. Christians are crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, let me be like that. So, yeah, Jesus understood because he lived through that. He bore our weakness and carried our sorrows, didn't he? He was human, as we are, being slandered and reviled. And we think we have to endure sometimes, but persecuted Christians around the world know what it's like to be slandered and reviled. They're just wanting to serve God, and yet they get terrible things said about them. And honestly, some people like to make up stories and get Christians in trouble, don't they? Like, let's investigate every accusation of abuse and find out what's true and what's not and take it seriously. But you want to make sure it's true before you spread it. So as we're wrapping up, let's think about whether we have the spirit of truth. That's how the Holy Spirit's described in John 14. It says, and if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We're going to be truth tellers. If you've been convicted about this respectable sin, confess it. And our passage for that is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse my tongue. Cleanse my thinking. Make me a peacemaker. And ask You ask for the Holy Spirit's help, and He will do it for you because that's what He wants to do. Well, I will pray for us. Before I do, I want to recommend a new book Rush Witt just wrote, Die Hard Sins. He deals with gossip there. Martha Peace deals with it in Damsels of Distress, Biblical Solutions for Problems Women Face. And Paul Tripp, War of Words, Getting to the Heart of Your Communication Struggles. All those are good resources if you want to help somebody or if you need help yourself. That was Rush Witt.
Yeah.
He's here. His book is prominently displayed at the PNR table. Okay, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless us. Dear Father, I thank you so much that these women have spent time in this workshop to hear about this sin of gossip. And we know that we are weak and we are frail sinners. We can be caught up in it ourselves. I do pray that we would have a new heart so that you would remove that bitter, slanderous, angry spirit that creates gossip and replace that with humility and desire for truth and desire for words which are edifying and enjoyable for others to listen to. Help us as we know people who are gossips or as we deal with it in counseling to know how to handle it and help people through it. And I do ask you to bless these women and thank you that we know the Spirit is walking with us and that will help us to change. In Jesus' name, amen.